We have time for one more question, so for those of you who've been standing, I apologize.
Professor Chomsky, I think one of the reasons that you see crowds like this is people are interested in hearing these things that don't get said very often and generally agree that, gee, these are bad things. How could the U.S. government be involved in them? Why do you think it is that most of the people feel one way, and yet our leaders invariably, and you cited Democratic and Republican leaders, all of them, I mean, across the board, you said Carter, Clinton, both Bushes, Reagan. Why do you think it is that our leaders don't feel the same way that we do? And when you say, okay, let's change policy so we're not the major impediment,
that's a great question.
That?
Why don't they feel the same way we do? That's brilliant. don't try to elaborate.
I don't think I want to hear the answer. I mean, you know, I don't want to overgeneralize. There are a lot of different people in Congress and the White House and so on. But by and large, overwhelmingly, they simply respond to different interests. 75% of the population who was skeptical of the election were basically correct. Policy is determined by power, by concentration of domestic power. And it's not a big secret how power is concentrated domestically. It's concentrated in huge conglomerates, which are internally tyrannies, in effect. They're mostly unaccountable to the public. They're given enormous rights, far beyond the rights of persons. They're linked to one another in all kind of alliances. They have an overwhelming effect on state policy, which largely keeps to what they want. And if they happen to differ, you know, if there's splits among them, you get things coming up in elections. Where they agree, it doesn't come up. Some of the major issues for the U.S. population are things like the international economic agreements, what are called trade agreements, so they don't have much to do with trade, or say the free trade area of the Americas or the trade deficit and so on. These are really top issues. They don't come up in the elections, and they don't come up in the elections for a very simple reason. The business world is on one side, and the population is on the other side, very largely, and they know it. So like in the Wall Street Journal, they say, you know, the problem is if these things come up, opponents of these agreements have what they call an ultimate weapon, namely the general population. So therefore, we have to keep them from coming up. And they don't come up in elections, and they're not discussed. And the population more or less knows that, even if they don't know all the details about, you know, GATS and so on. Yeah, except, you know, anyone who tries to break out of that that rather rigid framework is going to be marginalized because they don't have the resources and they don't control they don't have the media and they don't have the organization and so on. It's going to take large popular movements to change this. And that can happen. It's happened in the past. I mean, that's why freedom and justice have expanded over the centuries. It's never been gifts. You know? It wasn't gifts from the rich and powerful. These are things that were won. You know, they were won by the labor movement and by the women's movement and by the civil rights movement and by human rights movements. They're won by popular struggle. Then you get you move forward. But they're never given as gifts, and they won't be in the future.